Our scripture lesson for this morning, grab your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36, we'll read through verse 53, and you'll find that on page 1504 in the Pew Bible, Luke 24. We'll read that in connection with our Confession of Faith in Lord's Day 18 of the Heidelberg Catechism in the back of the Blue Songbook. You'll find that on page 24 and 25. We'll be focusing this morning on the payoff of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, question answer 49. But you see the rest of it there in Lord's Day 18. Jesus is exalted. This is a step up, a great promotion for Jesus. He died, rose again. That's the first promotion of Jesus. Then he ascends into heaven. That's even a bigger promotion for Jesus Christ. And it's your promotion too. Right, Jesus ascends, and he's really taking you with him. You're exalted through his exaltation, and that's really good news for us. I'm not going to spend time on it. You want to talk about it afterward? This is where Reformed and Lutherans part ways, okay? So leave it at that, and you can ask me about it afterwards if you want to. But we have a little differences on the ascension, but Q&A 49 is what we're going to focus on from Luke chapter 24. Let's ask for God's help in prayer. Father in heaven, please send us the Holy Spirit. May he illumine our hearts and minds so that we may be nourished and encouraged and refreshed by the riches of your grace and the wealth of your love, Lord Jesus. Hear us and answer us. Please make a divine difference in our lives, and show us Jesus. In Christ's name we plead. Amen. Let's stand, first of all, for the reading of God's Word in Luke chapter 24, the story of Jesus, the true story of Jesus after his resurrection, and now he appears to his disciples. As they were talking, verse 36, about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself? Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." But when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written upon me, about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. You may be seated so far, the reading of the word of the Lord. Please keep your Bible open and handy. We'll confess together responsively Q&A 49 of Lord's Day 18, what we mean and what are the benefits of the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. Christians, how does Christ's ascension into heaven benefit us? First, he pleads our cause in heaven in the presence of his Father. Second, we have our own flesh in heaven, a guarantee that Christ, our head, will take us, his members, to himself in heaven. Third, he sends his Spirit to us on earth as a further guarantee. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. So far, our catechism and just a summary of those core Christian teachings we find in the Apostles' Creed. And there's an outline of the message for you on the goal of our lives. Boys and girls, I had a couple of one boy and girl take notes, and they shared it with me. I love those. I kept it on my desk. I kept it on my desk all week, colored pictures of the sermon. So boys and girls, take notes, all right, or color pictures, or just write a couple of words down about the message, about the goal of our life being Jesus Christ. Your congregation of Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord, there's no doubt about what his goal was in life. It's a former president. After he lost his re-election bid, he went out to the Amazon, and he wanted to conquer the Amazon jungle. And he got hurt on that river of doubt. That's what it's called. The Amazon jungle river is the river of doubt. And he was out there on an adventure. The goal of his life was to get as much fun into his life and to really make a name for himself, to mark his name on a map, to make a mark on the map. And he fell. He got a wound. He was injured. His leg was bloody. And all of a sudden, yeah, you can imagine in the Amazon jungle, right, bacteria, parasites. It was going to be a life-threatening injury. And Teddy Roosevelt, after he lost his re-election bid, was there in the jungle and said, I'm not going to make it. And his son, Kermit, went crazy. He's like, Dad, I'm not leaving you. So Teddy Roosevelt said, look, you know, the only way my son is going to get out of here is if I buck up and find the strength and with my expedition leader head off out of the Amazon. It's one of the greatest adventures, true-to-life adventure stories, really known. Teddy Roosevelt, see, was trying to make a name for himself. Why? Because he lost his re-election bid. His goal in life was human approval, really, right? His goal in life. What's your goal in life? What's my goal in life? See, it almost cost Teddy his life. Almost cost his son's life. Almost cost the life of his whole team, because his whole goal in life was to make a name for himself. He was an approval junkie, right? Can you relate to that? Brothers and sisters, the goal of your life, that's beneath you. Because Jesus has ascended into heaven. The goal of your life is the things above. Jesus ascends into heaven for you to have greater goals than that. And I preach to you the word of the Lord as Jesus Christ. You see here this wonderful story of Jesus as he takes off, verses 50 through 53, he takes off and Jesus Christ ascends. He's rising, right, from earth into heaven with his hands out, with his arms outstretched in blessing. That's how Jesus wants you to remember him. How do you remember Jesus? I mean, Jesus doesn't just vaporize, does he? After his resurrection, does he just disappear into thin air, so to speak? He doesn't vaporize. He goes to heaven bodily, and he's there to do what? He blesses you in three ways. He's praying for you. He's preparing a place for you. And he's powering your life up to make the goal of your life his heavenly value system. Can we put it that way? His heavenly value system. Jesus Christ ascends into heaven. And Jesus Christ is that man, right? He's the Son of Man, Son of God. But now the good news of the ascension is the fact that there's a man with God at the throne of all the universe living in perfect harmony. That's the whole story of the Bible. That's really the story of the Bible. And I want you to see that with me just for a second as we turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel 28:13. Please turn with me back into the Old Testament scriptures to Ezekiel 28, verse 13. You'll find that on page 1179. Okay, page 1179. I want to see the big story of the Bible and how the ascension fits into it. Page 1179. The prophecy of Ezekiel. Chapter 28, at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you are the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you, verse 14, I placed you, you were on, get this, the holy mountain of God. Brothers and sisters, have you ever thought about that? This is the whole story of the Bible. Adam and Eve were placed in perfect harmony with God, right? What was Eden? Where was Eden? It was on a mountain. It was on a mountain. That's why you hear this language in Genesis chapter 2 of a river coming down a mountain. Okay, so when Adam and Eve disobey, they fall down. They literally fell down from a mountain, the holy presence of God. Here comes Jesus Christ living the life Adam and Eve wouldn't live and didn't live, perfect obedience, goes to the cross to pay the penalty for their sins and the sins of all who believe on him. He rises from the dead and he goes up, right? He's heading up. They fell down and died, and then he rises up. He's ascending with outstretched arms of blessing to the mountain of God. Right? He's ascending up. He's trending. He goes up. And as he goes up now, he sits as man. This hasn't happened before since Adam and Eve. He's living in perfect harmony with God, and so are you. Child of God, Christian, so are you. You're living on the mountaintop in perfect harmony with a holy God. Jesus is there pleading your cause. We read about that, for instance, in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. The catechism talks about Jesus pleading our cause in heaven. Pleading your cause in heaven. Romans 8, 34 says, Jesus intercedes for you at the right hand of God. As a perfect priest. And that's really the language here of Luke chapter 24. You get back into Luke chapter 24, Jesus Christ. The background here is really Leviticus chapter 9. Okay, you got to read that one this week. That's homework for you. After the priest offered a sacrifice in the temple, please get this with me, congregation. You've been in the church long enough to start making these connections and appreciating this. Okay, the temple was a replica of Eden, the mountain of God. Jesus Christ goes in, right, to the temple of God. And then he comes out now, and he's ascending into heaven. Jesus offers the sacrifice for sins. And then he rises from the dead, and he ascends. And just as the Old Testament priest in that Old Testament replica of paradise, namely the temple, after they would offer the sacrifice for sin, guess what happened? What did they do? They walked out and they saw the people of God and they would lift up their hands, the benediction, right? Numbers chapter 6. I bless you and I cause my face to shine upon you. There's no more sin between us, only perfect harmony. And that's what Jesus Christ has done and is doing. He offers a sin offering of his own life upon the altar of Calvary, and then he steps out and ascends, saying, I bless you, and I keep you, and I cause my face to shine upon you. All right, I'm pleading your case. Brothers and sisters, if you have to stand before a holy God in heaven, right? High anxiety kicks into high gear. We stand on our own. It's high anxiety because we have no place there in and of ourselves. When you stand in Christ alone, the case is closed. See, that's what the devil keeps on doing. The devil keeps on throwing dirt at us, right? All the dirt. Questioning our confession and profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, I'm at the right hand of God, interceding for you. The case against you, right? Against you is closed. I paid the penalty. You know that because, you know, I'm not going into heaven like this at you. I'm not going into heaven like this at you. I'm not going to heaven like this. I'm not even going into heaven for you like this. I'm going to heaven with outstretched hands of loving blessing. You're at peace with God. I'm standing in the need of prayer, aren't you? I'm standing in the need of prayer. Jesus Christ prays into the listening ear of his Father on behalf of those he died. On behalf of those he died. For those whom he died, Jesus is there in heaven. As your defense attorney, your advocate, and Jesus Christ is praying for you. He's praying for you, and that's good news for us because we really need Jesus praying for us. We need Jesus praying. I need Jesus Christ praying for me. Can you relate to this? For Jesus, with his outstretched hands, is my high priest praying for me and praying for you. That when, for me to forgive someone when they do me dirty and betray me. Instead of giving into bitterness, Jesus prays for me to forgive. And forgive. Jesus prays for us to open our mouth in bold confidence, to testify that Jesus Christ reigns and rules, is risen from the dead and coming back. Open my mouth. And that's good news because I'm afraid of all the pushback and the blowback and all the ridicule that you're going to get and I'm going to get. When we open up our mouth for Jesus Christ in an increasingly secular world, Jesus Christ is praying for you right now. He prays for our faith to never quit, to not quit. He prays for us. He's praying for you for living grace to persevere, to endure the challenges and the trials of financial difficulties. Of difficult relationships. Jesus is praying for you. That's the good news. The goal of your life. Jesus is praying for the goal of your life to be himself and a heavenly value system. So that's the encouragement and comfort we take that Jesus Christ ascends into heaven to plead our cause with the Father. And secondly, now we have our own flesh in heaven. That's the pledge Jesus Christ gives to us. You're not just going to heaven, congregation. If you are in Christ, you're in heaven already. You are in heaven. Jesus says in John chapter 14, right? You turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 1. You'll find that on page 1539 in the Bible. John 14, verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1, page 1539. Jesus says to his disciples there, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Page 1539. John 14, 1, "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." I actually believe that Jesus Christ is saying, "I'm going to the cross to prepare a place for you. And I'll die for you." And that's a guarantee that when I'm ascending into heaven, you know it, my hands are outstretched with blessing. I go, but the blessing doesn't. Blessing is permanent on you. But I go into heaven, and there is, hey, he's a carpenter, right? He knows how to make homes. Just the right time, just the right place for you in heaven. There he is, guaranteeing, right? That he has a place for you in the new heavens and new earth. And you get back into Luke chapter 24, congregation, and that's really what Jesus Christ is saying. Your flesh is in heaven right now. Jesus Christ bodily ascends into heaven. Body, bones, blood, and all. And that's what Jesus Christ is convincing his disciples here. Verse 39 of the text, he's saying, look, see my hands and my feet, Luke 24, 39. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And he says, all right, give me a piece of fish, verse 42. And he took it and ate it before them. Jesus Christ was a real human being. Jesus Christ ascends into heaven with your flesh and your blood. And Jesus Christ says, all right, I'm your bridegroom. You're my bride. My hands of blessing, I lay my blessing on you so that you're bone of my bones. You are flesh of my flesh. That's my unfailing, loving pledge to you as your bridegroom. Where I am, you will soon be also. And when the journey is all over, when all the struggles and all of the strain of living in a fallen world in this body of death, in a veil of tears, right? Well, that's going to be a distant memory. Not just for us to be kind of like, you know, soulless spirits flitting about on clouds. No, your flesh, you, only glorified like Jesus Christ. There's only one way there. Jesus says, I'm it. You might think there's a faster way to heaven. You might think there's a cheaper way to heaven. You're trying to find faster ways and cheaper ways, but you're going, doing an end round around the only way, and that way to heaven is Jesus Christ. My friend, you will never, ever wander into heaven. Jesus is the only way. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to break down. It may feel like it's a delay, but Jesus Christ says, I've gone from earth to heaven. I know the way. So are we now where Christ is Lamb, following our exalted hand. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, when you die, and when he makes all things new, you're going to feel a human hand. Take your human hand and bring you to the beauty of the new heavens and new earth. You're going to see a human face, the face of Jesus smiling into your human face. That's where this is going. That's where you are heading. We look like a body then that will come to full maturity because Jesus Christ died in full strength. What I'm getting at, congregation, there is, what are you going to look like? What are you going to look like when you get to heaven? This is really good news. What are you going to look like? Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, where Jesus Christ is coming. He's the ascended king who's going to come again, and he's going to make us like unto his glorious body. You know what you're going to look like? You're going to look beautiful. You're going to look spectacular. You're going to look gorgeous because you're going to look like the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So no more of this, shuffling around, hunched over, a walker. No more of the gray hair, going gray already, right? A little cane. You're going to be super fine. In other words, congregation, Jesus Christ died in full strength and he rose in full strength. are at about 33 years of age. And I hope I'm not speculating here with the Bible. I don't think I am. But you're going to be on the top of your game forever. That's where we're heading, because the flesh, our flesh right now, is in heaven, a flesh that's dying and decaying, it's wasting away, but in our inward man, we are being renewed day by day, so that even children who can't walk yet are going to be full grown, mature. I believe that's what heaven is going to be like, the new heavens and new earth, all because of Jesus' ascension, full grown maturity, full grown, perfect harmony, body and soul, perfect harmony with the living and true God. Jesus ascends into heaven to plead for us, to pledge us with his glorified body. And Jesus says, all right, I'll take the exchange. All right, I'll take your flesh and I'll glorify it. I'm going to give you my spirit. My spirit to make the goal of your life, my power, not impersonal power, but very personal power, the goal of your life, the things above. And that's what Colossians 3:1 talks about that. The Catechism quotes it, cites it, Colossians 3, verse 1. Your life is tucked into Jesus Christ. You're hidden with him in heaven. So that now you set your mind, get in that groove, make a groove in your mind to kick start your life upward, huh? Trending, to seek the things above, Colossians 3, verse 1, not the things here on earth. What's the goal of your life? Jesus ascends and he sends us down his spirit. Jesus goes up and the Holy Spirit from heaven comes down, the Holy Spirit of heaven indwells us to make the goal of our life the heavenly value system of Jesus Christ. Jesus gets our flesh, we get his own spirit. And congregation, that's exactly what, where did my Bible go? Luke chapter 24 talks about that. You catch that in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Behold, Jesus says, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And Jesus Christ still has his hands of blessing upon us. Lay my blessing on you. You know it when you have the Holy Spirit. How do you know that you have the Holy Spirit of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ? You don't care about earthly things as much as you used to. That's how you know. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to be with us always. The end of each day, at the end of our lives, to be with us. In fact, that's the only reason why I haven't just taken off from God and you haven't either. Because by his Spirit, Jesus is with us each and every day. If Jesus wasn't with us by his Spirit, right? Man goes up. Man, Jesus Christ goes up. God is still with us by his Spirit. If Jesus Christ wasn't with us, this church wouldn't exist anymore. You wouldn't be a Christian. That's the staying power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because Jesus is ascended. So keep asking, keep seeking for the power of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit himself, to make the goal of your life, not things on earth, but things in heaven. And congregation, you get that. That's what worship is about. That's why it's so important. Sunday worship, weekday worship. You see the disciples there, they're in Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem, Jesus says, huh? Center of worship. And they worshiped him, verse 52, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And we're continually in the temple blessing God, the God who blessed them. That's what worship is really all about. That's what life is about. Worship is about this, congregation. That's why we're here this morning and this evening. Jesus says, all right, come on up. You're in heaven now. You're with me. So your prayer life is about, is that right? Jesus takes you into heaven. That's what we have the word for. Jesus takes us on a trip. It's into heaven to be with him. And guess then what happens when we leave heaven, come back to earth? That's what Jesus Christ in his heavenly body is reuniting heaven and earth. So we're constantly trafficking between heaven and earth, heaven and earth, heaven and earth. Help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Jesus reunites them in his ascension. So congregation, we go in worship, we go in Bible reading, we go and pray in prayer, and we hold our hands up. So give me more of that blessing, Lord, so that we go back to the work week with the gifts of heaven in our hands, take heaven to earth. A piece of heaven here on earth. That's what's going on in worship. Jesus says, take a piece of heaven back to earth. How do you do that? What is the goal of your life? I guess that's the last question there. But what's the goal of your life? Teddy Roosevelt's goal in life was a human approval, human praise junkie. What's the goal of your life? What is your life goal? Is it a party? Is it entertainment? Is it to make as much money as possible? To retire by 55? To be the best? Fill in the blank. What is the goal of your life? Jesus ascends and sends the Holy Spirit to make the goal of our life his goals. So how can you do that? How do we do that? Brothers and sisters, I think we can do it in several ways. We can do that in several ways. I want you to think about that when it comes to your work. All right? We're here to get a piece of heaven, Jesus Christ, to bring back to earth. All right? Not just to float around in heaven. Our feet plant here on earth. So you go take heaven to earth at work. So, brothers and sisters, we're at work, in other words, to show Jesus Christ, the King of Heaven, better to others. They're getting God, a sight of God, right? Not this angry God with clenched fists, you know, who isn't generous, but this God, right? The God who has his hands and his arms outstretched in love. So when you're nailing and you're building, when you're milking, when you're engineering, when you're inventing, when you're creating, when you're answering calls, when you're taking care of your children, when you're protecting others, when you're teaching, the goal of your life is for others to see heaven, to see your heavenly King, Jesus Christ. So that's why you have your hands out, generously giving to others. So when you're doing dishes, all right, you're washing dishes now, got to do this again. Just did it an hour ago. I'm washing dishes so God can eat off of them. I'm building a hotel. I'm building a home. For God to live in, as though God was going to eat off these plates, as if God himself was going to live in this home. So we're very generous with our time. We're very generous with our clients and customers. We treat them very graciously. And I'm milking cows as if God was going to drink that milk. So I'm productive. How excellent is your name, Jesus, in all of the earth. Where did these people come from? That's what we want our customers, clients, people we're working with and for, provoking that kind of response. And where did I come from? I just came from heaven. That's where I came from. I'm going to do my work with excellence. And boys and girls, young people, yeah, it's back to school tomorrow. I'll do my homework and head work, my school work, stuff. I'm going to hand it in to Jesus. He's my teacher. Right? He's my boss. Bringing heaven to earth. The productivity. God's a worker, right? Productivity, generosity. And that's how your life becomes worshipful and very significant and extremely meaningful. And if you're a manager or a boss, may I just ask you to do this? Pour your life into one of your employees. I think this is how you show heaven to people here on earth. We're just blind to heaven. That you as a boss or a manager, people, you know, maybe it's an intern, who an employee, someone you work with, someone just kind of starting up. You take 5 minutes out of your very busy schedule, and I know it's busy. But you're taking time out to pour heaven into someone. Say, what's going on in your life? I'm going to pray with you. And if I can just ask for all of us now, could you go to someone this week or the next couple weeks and ask the question that someone asked of me a couple of weeks ago to start up a spiritual conversation about heaven? Right, this is how you do it. Here's one way you can do this. What's absolutely impossible for you to do right now? There's always traffic with heaven and earth. Ask someone, what is it, you know, employee, whoever you're hanging out with, to hang out in heaven, right? What is absolutely impossible for you to make happen right now? Let's go to heaven in prayer and ask the only one who can make it happen. Let's make the goal of our life not things on earth, but things in heaven. Jesus has ascended into heaven, dear friends. What will be the goal of your life? Amen. Let's pray about it.